Whiskey Neat is brought to you in part by Glenfiddich and William Grant & Sons. Today, Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt scotch whiskey, challenges conventions once again as it reimagines celebrations across the world with Grand Cru. An exclusive expression that's been matured for 23 years and elegantly finished in rare French cuvée oak casks, it fuses together the finest flavors from Scotland and France to create a true taste of luxury to be enjoyed with others. Pick up a bottle of Glenfiddich's award-winning single malt line today, almost anywhere.
Hey everybody, welcome back to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart, and man, does it feel good to be back in this room. I am sorry for those who have been watching religiously for the past 2 years, but I needed a quick break before the Whiskey Social this past weekend. And I would say first off, but we've already begun, happy Valentine's Day for those watching. I realized that in the middle of this episode and realized that I've got some shopping to do before Friday. this weekend was a blur. It was a fantastic blur. We've either outgrown the event or we're going to have to utilize more of the grounds, get some luxury bathroom trailers, set up more tents. We've got plenty of ideas in store. The check-in process has been fixed. The food was fantastic. The bathroom line was an issue. We're working on it. I just want to say thank you guys, though, for those watching that traveled. We had people who traveled out of state, people who came from California. We had one couple that came from Alaska. Several that came from Canada. It gives me the warm and fuzzies to put so much love into an event that has just become a madhouse of fanaticism, of love for the spirit, and I just really want to thank you. So this week's show is, as always, sponsored by our friends, Tolado Distill Artisan Spirits, leader in premium artisan products like Boonehaven, Deanston, Lecheg, Tobermory, Baines, Black Bottle, and, of course, Scottish Leader. Before I continue, I do want to say something. A good friend, state manager Averyn Edwards, hooked me up with a bottle of Deanston that spent some time in a Dragon's Milk Stout barrel. I don't have it with me today. We will be trying it next week. We might be trying it this weekend if I can convince a certain celebrity who's in town to come on the show. But I'm very, very excited to see what Deanston has in store, and we are working on convincing them to give us a special release for the show. So lots in store with Deanston. I definitely encourage you to go search Ralphie on YouTube and check out Deanston review videos. Ralphie is one of the best. So also, I picked up an Amroot single malt whiskey cask strength bottling that I didn't know existed. I found it locally. And I could not be a bigger fan. Whiskey Neat is supported by the inspired spirits at Glass Rev Imports and Amroot Distilleries. Amroot crafts one of the most award-winning Indian single malts to the exact same standards as Scotch. Amroot Fusion also received the Double Gold Blind and scored a jaw-dropping 96 points by judges at the Proof Awards. Amroot Single Malt Whiskey is widely available across America and can be found everywhere in Texas. Go out and get a bottle today. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or YouTube and rate and review the show. I don't know how you rate and review a show on YouTube. Find a way. Figure it out. Or Facebook. Go rate and review the show. Give me your feedback. It would be greatly appreciated. We have a couple things in store, which I can't talk about yet, but let's go into this week's episode. This week, episode 66, I sat down inside Bellmead Nelson Greenbrier Distillery with Chris Jones, and we talked about Bellmead and everything that they're working on. He's in town, just missed the Whiskey Social, and we get to sit down again. Me and Chris, I consider him a longtime friend. We've been chatting for years. Big fan of who he is, big fan of what he's doing, and big fan of the distillery. So this week we sit down. Todd joins us this week, and we sit down with Chris Jones, of course. Our last sponsor this week and our last episode that they are sponsoring is Brooklady. Progressive Hebridean Distillers, since 1881, our whiskey is 100% conceived, distilled, matured, and bottled only on Islay using 100% Scottish barley. Bottled naturally, unchill filtered, and coloring free, Brookladdy offers a wide whiskey range, including the unpeated, crafted using local barley and hand selected cask to create a floral, elegant, and crisp flavor, the Port Charlotte heavily peated range, and of course, the Octomore, the most heavily peated of their whiskey range, is a powerful demonstration of the art that goes into distilling with unparalleled levels of peat. I am definitely getting back in, getting my sea legs back. The show has been great. I'm happy to be back. We have a lot of exciting guests coming over the next couple of months. Oh, one last plug. Got to keep this in. I know you got a lot to trim out here, Jack, because I'm still trying to get back into things. I did an episode of my friend's show, Mike G. I talked about him a few times on the show. There is a podcast called Show de Vie with Mike G. He's been doing this for almost 300 episodes, and his most recent episode that dropped the day before the Whiskey Social was an interview with myself. I don't get to vent a lot about personal things that happen in my life, and I sat down with him, and we drank whiskey and mezcal, and a lot came out that probably shouldn't have. So we talk about something that happened this past year when I found out a man I thought was my father was not my father, which is crazy. But we go into it in the episode. So I encourage you to check that episode out. Show de Vie with Mike G. And if you don't know how to spell that, show de Vie, D-E-V-I-E, two words, with Mike G. It's on iTunes and podcast. You can Google it. You can find it everywhere. But we had a great, great sit-down discussion with someone that I thoroughly enjoy. We talk about movies. He's a huge Kubrick fan. He's a huge Scorsese fan. We talked the conversations me and Jack have had about directors. I think they're in that episode. So it's an interesting discussion for sure. Without further ado, thanks for sticking around. Thanks for watching the show. Thanks for coming to the Whiskey Social. Thanks for being supportive. Cheers. Chris, buddy.
How you doing?
Very good seeing you, man.
Great seeing you.
Todd, welcome back. It's the first episode of Whiskey Neat right after the Whiskey Social. This is our first time in 2 years that we took a little bit of a break. Two weeks. So I noticed that you guys stayed true. We had a lot of listeners go back and listen to old episodes just to kind of... That makes me think, I'm going to be a little sentimental here, that there is a part of your daily routine on Fridays that you watch this show. And when we took a break, you still needed to watch the show. So I appreciate that. My ego appreciates that. And it definitely feels like feels good to be back. I was burnt out for sure. We had so much. Todd, this was your first year actually working the Whiskey Social. You've come as guest, but what'd you think?
Exhausting, but you know, super well organized. I mean, the whole team there, you know, everyone had the walkie-talkies in their ears,
yeah,
whatever you call those things.
Those earpieces sucked.
The moment something went wrong, yeah, they were a little glitchy, but the moment something went wrong, it was fixed. There were staff coming, so organized chaos, I would say, but everybody had a great time, and I'm still exhausted now.
I did have a couple things I wanted to mention and thank. Eric Bogle from Houston Watch Company, he handled the Pappy Van Winkle class. He did a fantastic job. Sazerac, funny story about Sazerac. So every year for the past couple of years, our event is one of the only events that Buffalo Trace participates in. But under the condition that nothing highly allocated is at their table. They don't want to deal with it. We don't want to deal with the blowback. We don't want to deal with the complaints. We don't want to deal with... anyone thinking that we donated this product to the event, because I actually buy that product, the Weller Foolproof Picks, the old the Blantons, you know, I bought all those from local selections and then donated it to their table to kind of, you know, to kind of entice people in to try some cool stuff. This year they were like, we'll pour it, sure. What's the worst that can happen? Well,
long lines.
We had quite a few people who couldn't, I guess they kind of spaced out the bottles. There were some people who couldn't find it at certain times of the night, and there was definitely one guy that was furious. They learned their lesson, so they won't be serving those at their table again. But I appreciate Sazerac and Michelle Solomon, who used to work with the Whiskey Social a long time ago. The Citadel, they did a great job. very flexible, very easy to work with. And man, we've got some ideas around the bathroom situation for next year. But this is the first year we saw over a 65% growth at the event this year, nearly 1,700 people, and 77% of those were not in the Houston Bourbon Society.
And you know, I mentioned that all night to the HBS people, and they're shocked because they always assume it's an HBS event.
And there's a few people on Instagram that tagged the event as the Houston Bourbon Society through their annual Houston.
Yeah.
No, I think there's a lot of assumptions around that, but I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Does that mean that we have a lot of supporters in HBS or that we had a base before HBS? I would like to assume the latter. 33% of the female, 33% of the guests were female. That's up from 20% last year.
That's a huge number.
So 13% were female, and the average guest age was 38 years old. A lot of old farts. So
money.
Money. So it was a fantastic event. We sold out, legitimately sold out. Not to throw shade at anyone else, but there's this thing that happens in this industry from a marketing point where you want to say it's a sold out event, even when it's not. Sold that event, and we might have oversold a little bit.
What about on the vendor side? I saw some empty tables out there.
You know, that's a funny situation. So the way it works, do we want to go down this path? So we had a couple of vendors who paid for tables and just didn't show, which is better than the reverse of that, which is for instance, Bellmead, you guys have been with us for 4 years,
three, four years.
Guys have been around for a very long time. They're on it. Danielle Bennett.
She's amazing.
She's amazing.
She's absolutely
easy to work with. I call her on the phone. She's fantastic. So Bellmead, anyone that's been with us a long time, it's kind of industry courtesy to kind of offer them first right of refusal for the following year. Well, the problem is the table fees go straight to the venue. The venue plus food and everything else, you know, it creeps up to, this year was more than $70,000 just for that one night. So we just split it up amongst the vendors, and we give vendors the first right of refusal. The problem is the event's in February, and a lot of people don't get their budgets till January. So they'll claim a place until, like, in June, and for 6 months we'll just wait till they pay for it, and then we have a lot of last-minute backouts for various reasons. Some people don't no longer – the person I was talking with doesn't work for that brand anymore. The brand went in a different direction or gets kind of swallowed up by a bigger –
there are a lot of cancels?
There was
– because it still seemed pretty full to me.
It was still pretty full. We had, I think, 8 last-minute cancellations, and it was for various reasons, which sucks because then I've got to eat that cost to the venue.
Scroll the brand names across the screen.
No, it's I just think there's a I don't think it's intentionally malicious. I just think there's I think there's a disconnect between the brands. I don't think brands realize how it might inconvenience the organizer.
If it's a budgeting thing, I mean, because the event used to be August, right?
No. And see, a lot of people think that too. One year we did it in July. Other year it's been February or March.
Okay.
We did one in May 1 year, but it's always been the beginning of the year because it's hot in the summer, but we got kind of wedged in the middle. But so we had a couple who paid for the table and just didn't show. And then, we put water on, and then it looks like a water table.
Right.
But
4,000 bottles of water.
I sent an email follow-up to those brands. I think there might have been a turnover thing where someone no longer works for the brand. They've already paid for an event. I don't know how it works, but any insight,
I just love the water table.
Yeah.
I mean, you can never not have enough water at a whiskey event.
We had 1640, and we purchased 4,000 bottles of water. And I think we were out.
As I was helping to straighten them, and by the way, I was joking with like some of the people that were helping, when they would walk over and say, hey, can I help with that? I was like, yeah, start turning all the labels so that they're facing forward. Because you saw how many bottles there were like hundreds. And they were are you serious? But no, I was thinking like, what are we going to do with these at the end of the night? Because you take them out of the case. I'm like, do we have like a wheelbarrow or something? I don't remember cleaning up the water at the end of the night.
So they must have gone.
That's amazing.
Especially since everyone kind of gets a little bit of a buzz on and towards when they leave to get in their Ubers, they're probably grabbing some water there.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
We did tell, which is crazy. So we've been at the same venue for 3 years. We never had a bathroom issue, but I really pushed leading up to the event two things. Please eat and drink before the event. during the event and after the event. Drink lots of water.
That's a good connection. And utilize, they were drinking their water.
And utilize the spit buckets, mm-hmm. or dump buckets. Spit sounds disgusting. It's a fancy event. this year, I think, and then I would also walk around with, like, I walked around with an old bottle of ginger brandy from 1914 and just kind of poured some special vintage bottles, kind of, you know, make people's nights.
The hostess with the mostess.
Try. Yeah. And I would tell them, all right, I'll pour you this, but you've got to drink some water. You know, and then what happened was we had this insane line to the male bathroom. Apparently, the female bathroom wasn't that bad, but the men's line was absurd.
Which is the opposite. And I guess it's so many men. I mean, like 33% women's a lot, but still, like, 2/3 of them being men.
Oh, yeah.
With 3 stalls.
So we've got a solution for that. Either we're going to expand and utilize more of the grounds next year. The cigar tent went off. I wanted to thank Alan Denny as well from Galveston Island Cigar Company. You guys did a great job. Came through last minute because we had a last minute cigar cancellation. Stogie's canceled on us. And by the way, didn't cancel on us. Didn't call me. Didn't let me know. Just didn't show. So thank you, Alan Denny from the Galveston Island Cigar Company. But I think what we'll do is there's also like these luxury bathroom trailers that we can use next year.
Yeah, those are nice.
They're super nice. We can put them outside. I don't want to do porta potties. People pay too much money to use a porta potty.
Right.
I think we can definitely increase that. But that makes me happy because we also, I think we had less incidents of, I would say the word belligerent behavior. There was a vendor last year who came back this year and said, like, way better compared to last year, and I think that has to do with the food and the drink. So I think, it went off really well. I wish you could have been here. I think this is the first year you've missed because you came, you were in person manning that table, but you've been kind of all over the place right now.
I have been all over the place. It's been a lot of fun helping spread the whiskey gospel, as I always say it, for Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery. But obviously Houston Whiskey Social is always on our list of events to attend. And I'm sad I didn't get to be there in person because I always do have a lot of great conversations with, you know, supporters of the brand and just supporters of the industry, you know. So,
well, we got to work with Tanya Vykos. Forgive me, I think that's how you pronounce it, Vykos, Greek, I think. But she's fantastic. Yeah. I love her to death. I couldn't be happier working with her. And from what I hear, everything went off without a hitch. Need a little bit more elbow room in the venue, but we're working on that. It was just a blur. And so much a blur, I could definitely use a drink. So why don't we start with something?
All righty.
I brought our barrel pick, Mr. Blonde from 2018. Mm-hmm. He's one of 25 barrels.
One of 25 barrels, one of 20 that actually were outside the Nashville market.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
wow.
One of 20.
Okay, so how about we start with what would you prefer to start with? We can end with this, a little treat?
I think we should end with it because I think that, you know, let's talk a little bit about our newest product that we have available in Nashville, Tennessee.
Sure.
It's our Greenbrier Tennessee Whiskey, which is a wheated Tennessee recipe, and it's the original recipe from Charles Nelson. Was last sold in Tennessee back in 1909. So,
Tennessee only right
Tennessee
now?
Tennessee only right now. But we have plans to expand outside of Tennessee, obviously. We're just making sure that we have enough inventory so when we go into those outer markets, we're able to supply the demand.
Sure.
But it's 91 proof. We proofed it out at 91 in honor of Mr. Nelson because he passed away in actually 1891. So I'll get more into the story of the bottle.
I tell you what, while you go ahead and pour, I'm going to have a sip of this coffee here. I've been in bed for the last 2 days.
I feel the same way, even now.
It's been, you know, I just had blood work done the week prior. I definitely need to start working out more, but for in my opinion, here, I'm going to do this. That was our dump bucket.
Oh,
there you go. It's okay.
Thank you.
That was my yearly allotted exercise. Jack's laughing at me. He's all young and plays basketball and stuff. Screw you, Jack. God, I can't tell you how good it feels. Feels good to be back on the show. It smells fantastic.
I love that label.
I had this with our friend Chris.
Yeah, Chris Furtado.
Chris Furtado, High West.
Brand Ambassador.
Yeah, we did.
He came to Nashville the first week of October to help the our team, you know, blitz the market. Obviously, when you roll out your flagship product, you want to have all hands on deck and have as many professionals as you can on hand to speak to the whiskey. And he did a great job, and obviously he's a he's a true friend and a brother of the company. Yeah, I was really happy that he brought it in and kind of shared a little bit of the background of this whiskey. But
What was the price point on this?
So it retails right now SRP for $29.99.
Oh wow,
nice.
So
very approachable.
Very approachable. It's a few dollars higher than the category leader, but obviously,
what's the category? Oh, Jack Daniels.
Yeah, Jack Daniels. But we're looking to go.
I haven't heard that term before. Category leader.
Yeah. A little lingo.
Yeah.
So, but we're looking to come in a little bit higher than I would say. You know, the category leader.
It sounds better than leading brand.
Is that a way to avoid saying the brand? Is that part of your training or just, I'm just curious.
Oh, you know what?
to put you on the spot there.
No, you know, it's just something that, you know, we respect all the brands within Tennessee whiskey because they
You definitely do. When I went by and visited Jack Daniels, they had an original bottle of this mm-hmm. from the, I guess, early 1900s on their shelf. And I was like, what is this? And you were like, yeah. There's a lot of love in that Tennessee market. Yeah,
there is between us. I mean, obviously we're trying to bring a lot of attention to the Tennessee whiskey, segment of the whiskey category, and it's an honor that they have one of our bottles displayed. I mean, I think that's actually one of the finest bottles that I've ever seen of Greenbrier Tennessee, the original Tennessee whiskey.
You mean condition wise? It looks really good.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean, you come to our distillery and we have, you know, multiple bottles that are a little kind of, you know, worn down over the years, but we have some great, you know, original bottles on site that, you know, when folks come to Nashville, they have to take a look at. Even got a bottle from what you saw, it's a ball of rye from like 1899, and it doesn't necessarily have a label on it, but it's dark as midnight. And funny story goes is, you know, Andy, a few years back, I noticed that he had a Corvin, and a Corvin, you know, extracts, usually used for wine sales mainly to extract
air in the bottle.
Liquid through the cork, and you could preserve the bottle of wine when you're showing it, you know, day after day. So I kind of got a little feeling that we were going to maybe use that to extract some of that whiskey, and unfortunately, that was not the case.
Yeah,
we're all still dying to know what that tastes like, but it's a beautiful bottle for sure.
Oh, man, I think I would make it your mission to find a second bottle so that you can, you know, taste it.
Yeah.
Because we opened on Saturday the ginger brandy, and we also did some Old Log Cabin from 1917 that was just so, you know.
Pre-prohibition fireball.
Pre-prohibition. And just a piece of history bottle. And that's what's so beautiful about this hobby is that these are essentially time capsules mm-hmm. of they're capturing a moment in distillation time. And you come back to it. I mean, again, this was 12 years old 2 years ago now.
Yep.
And when I open it, it reminds me of that era, you know, that moment of when it dropped, the excitement, the fervor.
I remember you called me when it just released.
And I was so proud,
I was going to
man.
The airport. I was with Charlie Nelson in St. Louis, and you were like, hey, can we get another one? This thing sold out way too
quick.
That was the 5 minute sellout. I was in line for that.
It was 5 minutes. Some of them were less than 5 minutes. It caused a lot of headache with Specs. It put one particular Specs employee in tears. Which sucks. It sucks that you've got some people who can be really ugly.
It was a great value at the time. It was $60 for 12 years.
That was actually
Specs is smart.
Amazing.
It used to be, and when I joined the company, it was an everyday item, our single barrel varietal. And it was 9 years, and then the next year it went to 10, and then we started looking at our aged inventory. And also just looking at what those were going for, we're like, hey, you know, maybe we need to back off a little bit on this. So that's what kind of created the idea of doing Cask Strength Reserve, which we'll get to here shortly, but is a higher proof offering.
Sure.
Because it's, you know, all your listeners and most whiskey folks love, the higher the proof, the better.
A little bit of heat, yeah.
And that's why, you know, we proofed out, you know, Greenbrier Tennessee whiskey at 91 proof because, I mean, it plays well in cocktails, but you actually can get a good sense of what that spirit tastes like through secondary ingredients. And not to mention that weeded recipe allows you to enjoy it on the rocks, neat, or however the hell you want it.
Can you talk about the mash bill?
It's high wheat, so it's about 16% wheat on the mash bill, and you know this is the original recipe. And Charlie and Andy, through years of research, especially before opening up the distillery, went back and you know, finding old receipts through purchases of grains and old newspaper clippings and stories. They were able to work backwards and figure out the grain bill. So, you know, this was the absolute goal of the distillery, is to relaunch the legacy of Charles Nelson in this spirit. And we're doing everything we can in Nashville at this point to, before we go outside of Nashville, become the spirit mm-hmm. of Nashville.
Yeah.
Really.
What about the aging on it? I mean, are they trying to work up to that, or is it, do they know what the aging was on the product that back then?
I mean, so traditionally Tennessee whiskey is only aged about 4 years. That helps you remove the age statement from the back of the mm-hmm. of the label. You'll notice for all your listeners who may have made it to Nashville already, have a bottle in their possession, on the back, you know, it has a blend between 2 and 5 years, I believe. And a majority of it's all 5 years, and it's our first barrels that went in cask. Mm-hmm. We've added some of the younger stuff just to kind of work towards getting to that 4 year mark. But so I would say by the time that we get outside of Tennessee and potentially to Texas, it'll all be 4 years and older. So that is our goal. Basically.
Yeah, and for those who haven't heard the story of the Nelson Greenbrier Distillery, episode 66. I just went and looked it up. We went and visited the distillery. We actually sat in your storehouse.
In the most magical spot in the whole
the
place.
The smell was
amazing.
We
rolled out the leather couches for y'all.
Yeah, we did. And we sat down, me and my brother Sean, with you and Andy, right?
Andy wasn't there. It was, remember we had the camera guy who was helping us. With
oh,
AJ.
That's right.
So it was just me and Charlie.
Right. And we sat down and we heard the whole story. And if you haven't heard the story, I'll just give you a brief tidbit that was amazing that has stuck with me. But as the family migrated over here from Europe, they would store all of their valuables on them, sew pockets into their jackets, their vests, and store their gold, their watches, their money. And when the when someone went overboard, that all weighed him down, and he is still to this day at the bottom of the Atlantic. So.
That's crazy.
It is a pretty interesting story, to say the least. I thought it was incredibly fascinating. We also got to, by the way, we stole one of your ideas. Hope you're okay with it. We gave one of our barrel pick barrels to mm-hmm. a local honeybee farmer.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so we're going to age something in it after. But right now, we have currently 53 gallons of local, raw, unfiltered honey sitting in an Elijah Craig barrel that we plan to... Get the honey from it and throw some whiskey into it.
We'll have to make some trades then.
I had no idea what your honey was doing to the secondary market.
That's going nuts.
We talked about it after the fact, but it was a distillery only release. You did two barrels.
Mm-hmm.
And both
Is were, that it? It was only two barrels?
It's only two casks for the last two releases. And
what was the retail on that?
$150. $150,
right. $150. $150 bucks. Okay.
Immediately tripled.
It went up higher than that. Yeah. At one point, I saw a guy selling two bottles, one from each cask, for $2,000.
Yeah.
And I immediately texted you. I was like, what? I had no idea. Because, first of all, it was amazing. It was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoyed. They had taken, same thing, gave their barrels to a local honeybee farmer.
True Bee Honey.
And then put their whiskey back into the barrel. And released Bellmead Honey. It's fantastic. Super delicious.
I haven't had it.
I know some people who are pure of heart or purists or, you know, don't like that, but it was
How sweet is it?
It's just subtle. It's a natural, so there's no additives. It's all natural.
Honey tastes like.
You know, honey being sticky, it's not like you're dumping a regular barrel. What did they do to the barrel? Are you allowed to talk about that? Was it cleaned?
We cleaned the base layer, but through the time that honey sits in those barrels, it seeps through the pores.
The wood,
And then we put an older blend of whiskey in there, and it basically draws the flavor profile onto that blend. And I have good
news.
It's
a big success, yeah.
Yeah, I have good news. We will be we're coming up on March 7th. So if you're in Nashville, Tennessee, on March 7th, we'll be re-releasing our honey cask. It'll be like our distillery opens at 10 o'clock. First come, first serve.
And except for the two that you set aside for the show here.
Yeah, you know people, right?
Yeah.
But we've actually increased the production because, you know, we like to please. And we had a lot of folks.
What did the honey guy think of it?
The company?
Yeah.
They love us.
True Bee?
True Bee, because we actually sell their honey at our gift shop. So if you want to do a twofer, get a honey bottle and then go get some honey.
Because the honey, by the way, is delicious on its own. I mean, I've had a couple of the barrel-aged honey in bourbon barrels, and it's awesome.
Yeah. You know what you could get away with, which would continue to show some love on that relationship? There's a new trend in whiskey right now called bundling, where liquor stores are forcing... like if you want a bottle of this Blanton's,
yeah,
you have to buy this four pack of other bottles.
Hmm.
And it's legal.
Yeah.
Totally legal. But yeah, if you wanted to buy a, you can force that twofer and say that it's 170 for one bottle of this and a bottle of the honey.
A little copack.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you brought that up, because we're obviously real excited and it draws a lot of folks. And also just want to, that on that same day, we're launching the Cooper's Club.
March what now?
March 7th. It's always a Saturday.
All right.
And as I mentioned, we increased production, so there'll be more. But we're also going to be throwing an event basically unveil the Cooper's Club, which is our fan club, which is free. And we'll be continuing to build that out. But you know, it's just a, like I said, a twofer. Come for a whiskey or come for the honey cask release. Stick around for the party. So that's one thing we always like to do with our releases, is provide an experience for our supporters.
Is there a difference in the whiskey going into it? Is it around the same age as before?
Good question.
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, we usually keep it above, you know, anywhere from above 9 and to up. I mean, I've seen us put a 14-year-old barrel in there and mix it in. It's just really what our distilling team decides, mm-hmm, as far as this is the perfect blend for this.
How long do you leave it in there?
It depends on the time of year that it goes in. Because because we don't have a temper controlled rickhouse, so if it's in the if it starts in the winter, it's kind of goes takes a little bit longer. If it's, you know, in the summertime, it speeds up the process. So all these landed, I think it was around like 4 to 6 months. I just don't want to speak as far as
the
exact.
Sure. Well, yeah. That's what I'm doing, is taking notes, because we were expecting 3 or 4 months to put ours in, but yeah. I don't know if that was going to be long enough.
But also, we have our mash bill is a high rye bourbon. So with Elijah Craig, there could be just a little difference in that. It's just whatever, you know, our team feels is the perfect time, because those guys have the best jobs at our company is tasting and tasting and tasting. So I used to be a part of those, but you know, with life keeping me on the road so much as the travel whiskey salesman, I just don't get a chance to partake in much anymore.
Yeah. You guys have been known to have, God, like 50 SKUs. Like, you guys are, that's one thing I've always loved about the brand, is you guys love to experiment.
We do.
You love to really push.
That's the art of craft, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and we also worked our way up through, you know, started with our Bellmead Classic, and then, you know, then started with the Oloroso Sherry Cask that won us best special barrel finish at the World Spirits Competition in 2015. That actually got the wheels turning as far as creativity is concerned.
Is there a new sherry? Because I thought the sherry was at one of the newer lines. Maybe I'm thinking of, what was the latest that came out?
So we did a brandy cask finish.
Brandy.
And that was one part of the Craftsman's Cask collection that we did for, it's a part of the quarterly release program, mm-hmm, that we do.
Okay.
But Oloroso was the first, and then the XO Cognac cask, and then the Mumsy Madeira cask. But, you know, we're going to put a heavier concentration on our traditional styles, like Cask Strength Reserve, which you have a hold of right now, then obviously our classic small batch. But we're going to continue to do these cask finishes just on a much smaller scale.
Sure.
Because of just the time it takes.
Well, and the
capacity that we have.
Yeah, that's the big one right there.
And you've seen it. You know, yeah. You've seen our capacity and know that we're breaking at the seams right now.
So we covered this in episode 66, but Todd had a question he wanted to ask you about the horses on the front of the bottle.
Okay.
Oh. Now, you know that the horses are actual real horses named after specific horses.
Correct,
right?
Yeah.
And what's the one that's not the good one?
Can I say the good one, though, quick? I just like to introduce our prestigious horse on the right.
Okay.
Bonnie Scotland.
Yep. Yes. Beautiful name.
What a great name.
Beautiful name.
Bonnie Scotland sired.
What a classy,
classy name.
Classy name.
Right.
And pretty good.
Yeah. So Bonnie Scotland was the founder of the Northern Dancer bloodline in the United States. Northern Dancer bloodline is one of four bloodlines that can be traced back to almost every horse that's won the Kentucky
Derby.
And
she had raced, right, and as compared to the other horse, which you know you're going to get to, which had never raced.
It was a race horse, but it was not,
right,
you know, a championship horse.
Right. Very good.
Yeah.
But, he had the genes, the special genes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Special genes.
Yeah.
So, you know, this was an original label that was, you know, put out there, 1878, and We made some adjustments. We took the names off the label. So when you look at the label...
Why would you take the names off the label?
Because the horse on the left, his name's Brown Dick.
And what?
I call him Brown Richard, you know?
Yeah.
And he's a very prestigious horse. And, you know, it's
yes,
on the label.
Yes, I am a father of teenage kids, but I am sorry. I'm also 10 years old.
But, you know, it's a fact. And that's it was a piece of art. We actually have it on display at the distillery, the original label.
I've never seen it. I have to look that up.
Here, I'll show it to you before we leave, you know? Yeah. So
yummy. That's savory. Savory. Great word.
So we're tasting Cask Strength Reserve here now. This is a 7-barrel blend of single barrels.
Which is what I tried to sell him on. After this sold out in 5 minutes, I tried to convince him to give us a blend, but it was right in the midst of this Constellation marriage, and we didn't make the cut just yet, but I'm still eager to push
on the issue. I saw that your blends are with a smaller amount of barrels. I saw something about 3-barrel blends also.
4-barrel blends, 7-barrel blends.
Which is super duper rare.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, and this is kind of some bourbon 101, but small batch is not a regulated term, and there is no definition. So I've heard people say things like small batch is, you know, less than 20 barrels. No. Booker's releases are all, they all say small batch on them, I believe, and they are all 300 plus barrels. There is no standard for small batch. So when you have a producer who is doing 3-barrel, 4-barrel, 7-barrel blends, that is extremely, exceptionally rare. So that's off to you. By the way, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is batch 27 of 2019. It's capped at 113.6. And we found that that's basically our wheelhouse for this special blend. And it's one thing about Cask Strength Reserve is from batch to batch, it's consistently delicious and savory, to steal words from your mouth. But at the same time.
Now we're even on the honey thing.
Yeah, we are. So it, but from each batch, there's some different attributes that pop out that actually, if you have with your palate, you can kind of, see that. Wow, this is a little bit different than the last, but we want, that kind of be our standard. And I think that we've done a great job, producing this product. And it's, one best, 2018 Whiskey Advocate named it in their top 10. It was number 10 of 2018. And that was only a few months after we had released this product. And it really, that helped our brand as far as from a notoriety standpoint.
And this
really
is also in like the 9 to 11 year range?
Like 7 to 11.
Okay.
Yeah,
7
it kind of varies.
Okay.
It just, our distilling team is just, they absolutely know how to identify the right barrels to marry together for this product.
And you mentioned it's capped at 113.6.
Yes.
So they're all 113.6?
Moving forward, when we first launched, it was not. It was actually each batch varied in proof. But we have found that it's been really tough as far as basically they treat it like a single barrel. Every state does when registering with the state, because obviously you have to follow all standards. And it was just a lot of tedious back of the house work. So we decided to focus on 113.6 because that was the batch number 5 that that got that honor at being part of the Whiskey Advocate's top 10. So that's kind of what we've moved forward with.
Yeah, so, and for those who aren't aware, for years, you actually, the COLA approval, Certificate of Label Approval with the TTB, you had to submit new ones when the proof changed, and that's no longer an issue. So you can essentially, you don't have to submit for a new label each time at the federal level when proof changes, but there are still some states that are very particular about it. I think off the top of my head, talking to Will Schragis over at Barrel Bourbon, I think there's at least 2 or 3 that specifically need the label to match the proof on the bottle. So it's not a problem in Texas, though. So, ours was like 104. So does that mean that you're going to keep all batches that exact point?
We're going to try. We're going to try because we feel like that is the perfect proof for this product at this time. Obviously, as we evolve, that could change. You never want to
say specific.
What's the price point on this?
Right now, you could find it anywhere from about $60 to $70.
That's a great price point.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
All day.
Have you guys thought about... Well, because I guess because it changes, but if it's a range, have you thought about adding that age statement from at least seven? Like Heaven Hill put that seven-year mark on there.
Yeah, I think we're going to stay away from that. I mean, I don't know, honestly, just because, you know, that's a discussion that's with our team, and obviously now we're, you know, from a marketing standpoint, we always want to be up front with everything. And so I think that, you know, right now we're fine the way that label reads.
Sure.
At this point.
And for that 60 buck price range, and going back to what we were talking about earlier, what Specs did here that kind of helped is we were expecting this to be $100, $90 mm-hmm. in that range.
Mm-hmm.
And Specs was able to basically convince us that we couldn't go anywhere else with it ever again. Like it would have to be through them. I think $65 is what we got that for. And we couldn't have been happier with it.
That's amazing.
Especially considering what happened to 12-year MGP.
Yeah, 12-year MGP
not long
anywhere
after
else.
This.
Yeah,
right.
$175.
Hey, you know, it's great juice. I mean, MGP they just produce really good mm-hmm. bourbon and whiskeys.
So how many batches are you doing a year of this?
So this was, like I mentioned, batch 27 of last year. I would say on average in the past few years we've done around 30 or maybe a little north, a little south of there, because it makes up a percentage of our overall volume. Our classic small batches is the horse that pulls the cart and is our flagship.
Sure.
So a lot of focus goes on that product. This is the second leading SKU within the Bellmead portfolio, rightfully so. I mean, it quickly came onto the scene and surpassed the mm-hmm. the cast finishes. And I see that it will continue to gain a lot of popularity. I call it just reserve, you know, probably calls it cast strength reserve. And,
sure.
But I'm just like, you know, keep it reserve, you know.
CSR.
CSR, exactly.
Yeah. What's the proof on the finished bottles?
So our standard finished products are at 90.4 proof,
okay.
Just same as the classic small.
So has there been any thought in releasing those in a higher proof given the success of the cast strength?
Yeah, good point.
Great question.
Great question.
Todd yeah. Grew. Look at you should have through. Your own podcast, man.
Yeah. So
we call it the Backward Hat Show.
So
I'll turn around. That's the four-square hat.
I like that.
Oh, man, I was so glad to have them there.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, so we've actually sold some of the cast finishes at cast strength, and it was part of our select cast program. You and I have talked about it a couple times.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very small production. It's basically when we identify a cask that has a special blend in there, and it is just over the top with flavor, we hold that back and then have approached some, you know, customers in the past or some states in the
that's
past as far as our
that's
wholesaler.
Weird.
And we'd personalize it. Like we did something in Colorado and Minnesota where we would personalize that bottle, send that in, and then they would go out selling it, mm-hmm. you know, which is through their distribution network. And I always say those are some of my absolute favorites. The first one we ever did that gave us that idea was actually up in D.C. at Jack Rose.
I love that place.
Yeah, Bill Thomas. He's been a dear friend of Charlie, Nanny, and our entire business. And he was the one who actually got the first one. And if you're ever up in D.C., and that was a heavy yield.
Sure.
But if you're ever in D.C., go in and ask for the Jack Rose Sherry Cask
awesome.
Barrel. It's a 10-year, I believe.
Have you guys done a rum finish?
We have not done a rum finish, no. And I don't know if that's in the cards. You know, Andy Nelson, he's – I know you're looking at me right now.
Well, I mean, you guys have a wild success with sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
The sherry barrels, the Malmsey, just – I think a rum would be a big hit with what you guys do.
Yeah.
I'm still detoxing,
I will tell you
so
that.
I'm going to dump it, so no offense.
I know.
No offense taken.
Yeah,
I was on Bourbon Street last weekend, so.
I remember when I saw you on –
Yeah, we're outside of Aaron Rose.
That's right. That's yeah. right. That was my first. You were with me.
Yeah, I think
I think you met then. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was the what's it called? Tails.
Tails.
Tails of the
yeah.
cocktail. I
yeah,
ran
you
into
were
you.
There.
I think we were all inebriated
of
at that moment.
We were.
Yeah, yeah.
You're in New Orleans.
We talked
about Tails.
We talked about the Dolph Lundgren episode, and I've met your counterpart. What's her name?
Oh, Liz Espy or Danielle Cox. Was she little?
I think it was Danielle Cox.
Yeah, like really kind of
really kind of brunette.
Yeah.
Did you all sponsor an event there, or did we just run into?
So that other? That year was we were just there.
Okay.
This year,
crazy as
we
got,
we're going to be doing some activation.
Yeah. See, I was only there for a day and a half, so and that was my first Tales experience. This year, it's going to be. If I can survive a week, Wednesday to Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, we'll be back for interviews, but it was it was exhausting. Just 2 days of interviews and late nights.
Oh,
crazy late nights.
Well, when we get our plan in place, I'll make sure to pass along what we'll be doing. Cool. And obviously, I know y'all are down there to do work, but. You know, depending
gotta,
on what
gotta enjoy ourselves a little bit. And the whole reason why we went to Aaron Rose is I heard that if you go there, you have to stop by Aaron Rose. We walked in, couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
There were so many bodies packed into this bar and no air was moving.
Stagnant.
And I literally felt like I was suffocating. And I came outside, and of course, you're outside. I was like, oh, awesome, man.
Isn't so we that talked, like we, August or when was that?
July.
It was July. Yeah,
so that's it's like just, the middle of July.
Everything
every year.
Was wet, man. I mean, yeah. Baby powder galore. But we talked about the Dolph Lundgren episode and kind of just, I think we might have smoked a cigarette or something, but I never smoke cigarettes.
That's one thing you do. Do you do it? What stays in New Orleans? Never, you know.
What happens in New Orleans stays in New Orleans.
Exactly, man. Yeah.
All right, so we've got one more to get to our single barrel that we did a couple years ago. When people are going to give me a hard time if I don't ask. What is the has 2020's allocation been spoken for? How many barrels? How do we make it happen?
Sure. So, I mean, obviously right now, I mean, we're going through a great.
By the way, you know I love you. I also know that this question is a pain point for a lot of people.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, I've had the honor of like helping out with the barrel programs at Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery for the last, you know, since I came on board, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, and it's been exciting because there is such a demand for it, and
sure.
And because
it's job security.
It's well, there you go. But it's been a great vehicle for us to build the brand, especially from the years ago, and but at this point, we have not been able to really deliver. A quantity of barrels that we feel comfortable with because, listen, we have a lot of great supporters and a lot of great markets, and it's tough when you have to go in and say, all right, we're only going to give one barrel for one market. I mean, we're not like that. You know, we're a family business, and so we're focusing on building up our quantities of aged inventory
sure.
To have a greater offer. So we're looking at this year, taking this year off. I know that's nothing what you want to hear right now, but we need to really kind of look at our focus, which is building our core items, but then also holding back some of those barrels that we come across that will be great opportunities for folks to purchase, alongside also expanding our capacity.
Sure.
Because as we mentioned earlier, we have Bellmead Bourbon, which is growing at a great clip. But now we have our flagship product, Nelson's Greenbrier Tennessee Whiskey, that is going to take a lot of our time and attention from a production standpoint as we start to expand that. So what folks don't understand is when you have under our current setup, it's a lot of moving parts. And I've been so thankful to have a great staff at the distillery to actually educate me on everything that goes into every part of the business. So I do sales and help with our marketing, but I don't do any of the hard work in the back.
Sure.
And so I think until we can get a much smoother
That's
process.
That's an exact comparison to my marriage with my wife. I work, but she does all the work.
Yeah. You have a great wife at home, obviously. But I just want to make sure that, we are going to come back to the single barrel program. It's just this year is just going to be tough for us to release any special projects. Mm.
There's a lot of candy in that, a lot of bubble gum.
So good.
Yeah.
All right, so let me say this. Totally understand. Mm-hmm. But it's, again, going back to a comparison with my wife, I had friends introduce us via MySpace years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept rejecting, turning me down, not meeting up with me, canceling me to go on a date with someone else, right?
Yeah.
But I kept asking, so I stayed at the forefront of her mind.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing now. So when the time comes and you're ready to go on a date with me, I've been with my wife 14 years. We have four beautiful kids.
Yeah.
When you're ready to have kids with me, I am ready when you are.
See, that's, I thought the analogy you were going to go for is like, we have a relationship here. I need some sugar. Like,
No. I'm a very patient
Valentine's
man.
Just around the corner, too.
Not just once a year. Yeah.
This comes out Valentine's Day.
Does,
Happy Valentine's Day, guys.
Yeah.
It's Friday, right?
It is Friday.
Yeah.
You should know that.
I should know that. Oh, no.
If you didn't make a reservation, the way to get around it is to say, I'm cooking. And then you just got to go to the butcher.
I'm not
get
cooking.
Some stuff.
Forget that.
Yeah.
I'd rather take the shame.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I'm taking my wife to a concert tomorrow night. We're celebrating early.
Nice. Nice. Hey, you know,
what concert?
It's just a holiday. That means
Dermot something or other. Some guy named Dermot Kennedy. Dermot something.
Something.
It's something that she likes. I just bought the tickets and get to reap the benefits. So when you are ready, I know we've given you this whole spiel before, but we are the there is something that happens that I don't think a lot of civilians get to see, which kind of part of this tough question is there's a side of this that consumers don't see that I'm happy to pull the curtain back and let them know. Great example is Whitmire's distillery here in Houston. We begged them for a single barrel for a year. They had never done one. Kept asking. His number one concern, well, I'd like to give you one. I would. The problem is that I'm worried that if I gave you one, then I'm going to have all these buyers pissed off that I didn't offer them one first, the big supporters who've been supporting them for years, which makes total sense. So what we have done and what I – as far as I know, we're the only one to do nationwide, is we work with all the big box stores as well. So we basically try to mend the bridge of, I can't give you one without giving Specs one. Okay, well, we'll just do ours through Specs.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a great working relationship with Specs. When the time comes, mm-hmm. and if there are specific requirements as to who you feel like you should go through, we work with them already.
Hey.
So whoever they are, we work with everyone.
Specs has been a great partner for us since we came into Texas, 5 years ago. And obviously they've been awesome to work with. And we'll, hopefully always have a great relationship with them.
They give you great placement. I've been through the Bourbon Aisle enough times that I can picture it. Yeah, it's right mm-hmm. there.
Eye level.
One of the first things you see.
Eye level, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, they built one hell of an empire. Like any moment... Anytime I get remotely a bit proud of the Whiskey Social, like we had Jared Hempstead come in the green room. Jared Hempstead is the master distiller or head distiller at Balcones. I don't know that he would like the term master distiller.
Distiller of the year.
Anytime I feel any kind of pride around the event and the community that I've contributed to, I look at someone like that and I'm like, I'm nothing. Like this guy built these guys literally set the stage for Texas being a Texas whiskey state. I always thought rum would be a better fit for Texas, but him, Garrison
Which
Brothers,
they're
they've got these massive companies who are paying people's salaries and feeding their families. Like they couldn't be more family-oriented and more invested in the industry, whereas I throw a party one night a year. You know what I mean? Like it's completely different. Like what you guys are doing, Nelson Greenbrier brand, you guys are you were ahead of the curve. We talked about this in episode 66. You guys were playing around with finishes on a much larger, much wider scale before really anyone else. You guys were like, let's see what we can come up with. You guys were progressive in that mindset. You so much so that you had to reel it back. Like you've been so overwhelmed in what has become a really awesome, awesome brand. So my hat's off to you. How long have you been with the company?
It's going my fourth selling season, as I always say.
Four years, that's it. So when you came to the Whiskey Social the first time, that was mm-hmm. your first year with the brand?
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. But I've been now in the wine
so
spirits business.
So I'm responsible for your career.
Hey, man, you've helped, obviously. The friendship and relationship's been great.
Well, just everything's been so great, man. I mean, to watch what's happened with Bellmead the past couple of years has been astronomical.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tanya, we've been on the – we've beat the bricks, you know. I mean, this is how this company was refounded by the brothers. I mean, you know, Charlie and Andy have done such a good job, and they really are a true testament to what hard work is all about, and that feeds through the culture of our company in Nashville, and you know, obviously we want folks to understand and get a sense of our culture. So, you know, if anyone listening and would ever like to come down to Nashville, and make sure you come by Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, and we promise a good time.
Yeah, we've got quite a few listeners. We have listeners in all 50 states mm-hmm. and more than a dozen countries. So I will tell you, I make a trip to Nashville at least twice a year for barrel selections. One of these years, it'll be a Belle Meade Distillery.
Yeah, we'll be happy to host you.
And then, of course, we always make a trip to the motherland a couple few times. You just got back, right?
Yeah.
You just did our first two bullet barrels.
Yes.
Yeah, so we've run out of time. Todd, thank you for coming in. First, thanks for the help with the Whiskey Social. Thank you guys for coming, making this event the most insane, largest event in the state. I really can't thank you enough. And, of course, Belle Meade for the support.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good seeing you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.